You're listening to The Conversation with Adam Weber, lead pastor of Embrace Church and author of Love Has a Name.
Hey guys, it's Adam. This is The Conversation. A huge welcome and hello to each of you, along with a big high five. I'm excited about today, and I am so incredibly excited about today's conversation. I was able to sit down with Minnesota Vikings wide receiver number 12, Mr. Chad Beebe. You are gonna love Chad Beebe. He is quite possibly one of the kindest, most likable humans that I've crossed paths with, but we hear a part of Chad's story. And a part of Chad's story is trials and setbacks. All throughout his college football career, along with his NFL career, Chad has walked through injury after injury after injury. And what I love about hearing his story is just a reminder that regardless of who we are going to face trials and setbacks. Just because you're famous, just because you're on TV, just because you play for the Minnesota Vikings does not mean that the grass is greener where you are. I think all of us have that in us. We're just like, gosh, no one else is going through this. I'm the only one. That's not true. Instead, all of us will face trials and setbacks. What matters is what we do when we face those trials and setbacks. Will we throw in the towel? Will we start to play a pity party? Will we give up? Or will we stand back up and run after what God has in store for us? Again, what matters is not when we fall or what trials we go through. What matters is what we do after those trials. And so I pray today's conversation would just encourage you. Chad is a husband. He's actually right now in the process of moving across town into a different home. He's about to become a dad for the first time. Even in those details, I hope that you just see kind of the normalcy of who he is. He's just a guy who loves Jesus and is trying to follow after him like so many of us. And so as always, sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation. Well, Chad, a huge honor to have the time with you today. I want to welcome you to the conversation.
I appreciate it, Adam. Excited to have this conversation.
Yeah, so for the person who doesn't know you, let's hear the high points of your story. Where are you from? How you got to where you're at right now today?
Yeah, I am originally from Aurora, Illinois. Did most of my growing up in that area. I'm part of a huge family. Shoot, my dad's side of the family is almost 60 now, and then my mom's side of the family is like mid-20s or so. Just a big family, man. I went to Northern Illinois University, got a degree there, played college ball, obviously, and came out. You know, I had a dream to play in the NFL as a young kid, you know, and came out not getting really looked at by many people at all. I mean, as I have learned, the Lord works in mysterious ways, and he pulls things out of nowhere, you know. The journey isn't always exactly the way you may have thought it would be, but I'll tell you what, he always brings you right where you need to be. Where I am right now, I'm going into my fourth year with the Vikings, playing receiver, loving every second of it, you know, living the dream, playing a childhood game for a living. It doesn't get any better than that. But I got married to my wife just over a year ago now, and we're expecting our first child early August.
Yeah, no, congrats on the addition number one. I'm excited for you. And also, just for the record, between me, you, and God, I dreamt of being in the NFL as well. And I made it to varsity football, and that's about as far as I got in high school. So, God, I'm not sure if you can still make that happen or not, God, but I'd be grateful. I'd be grateful for that.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, but it, like, for you, it wasn't kind of drafted first round, that end of things. Yeah, share about how that happened for you.
Well, you know, for me, injuries have kind of been my story, you know, but I've tried to like flip that script and be like, yes, that was part of it, but it was the overcoming that is the bigger story, you know, and that's all God, 100%. But just to share with the story and how I even got here, you know, I got hurt my senior year of college.
Yeah.
And it left me about a month to train for what we call a pro day. So it's basically your one-time interview to try to make it into the NFL. So I went out and tried to perform the best I could. And there was a few scouts talking to me afterwards, but I mean, hardly anything, you know. And long story short, the draft comes along, and you know, I'm hopeful, but I'm not really expecting anything. So I'm banking on, please, Lord, just give me an opportunity, you know.
Please, God.
And it was the last day of the draft. I got a call from Indianapolis, actually, and they said, hey, you know, we'd love to have you in as a minicamp invite, which is basically the bottom of the barrel. You're not an undrafted free agent yet. You're obviously not a drafted player. You're going to come in. We'll see what you got, and then maybe, you know. So that was one team. And then it was a couple days later, the Minnesota Vikings called me, and they offered me the same thing and said, but the thing about it is you got to be here on Friday. And that was a Wednesday of that week. So I had, you know, a split second to say, I'm going, pack up my stuff. you know, from Royal Illinois up to Eagan, Minnesota, and just try to put my best foot forward. And long story short, they end up signing me after that 3-day rookie minicamp back in 2018. Going into the preseason, you know, we had obviously preseason games, and I'm a rookie, and I don't know what to expect. You know, I mean, even as an undrafted guy or an invite guy to begin with, I don't know what to expect, but I do know one thing. I love to play football, and I know God has brought me to that point. So I'm just going to continue to try to do the best I can, you know? Yeah. So I earned my way onto the team as a practice squad player my rookie year. And then it was about 8 games into the season. They felt I was ready to be pulled up, and I played in a few games and had some decent games, you know, had a few catches some yardage. And then I ran into some hamstring issues towards the end of that season, which was really unfortunate, you know, finally feeling like I got a chance here and playing on Sundays, you know, the dream is coming true. And then have some hamstring issues. So that was rough. And then my second year, 3 games into the season, you know, I had earned that number 3 spot behind Diggs and Thielen. And I was feeling so good, ready to go, you know. And that, yeah, 3rd game of the season, I end up hurting my ankle pretty bad, needing surgery. He put me out the rest of the year. Last year was my first healthy season in 10 years, if you can believe that, starting all the way back in sophomore year of high school. It's crazy. But yeah, it's been a journey.
Yeah, no, Chad, I appreciate you sharing all that. And really the reason I wanted to share that is for so many of our listeners, we see people on TV, regardless of what it is, whether it's sports or acting or whatever. And I think it's so easy to have this pie in the sky picture of what that life looks like, of like, oh my gosh, they got it all. They have it all, total security. And it's like the total opposite. Like everything in so many ways is day to day, week to week, contract to contract, game to game. And so it's really this opposite thing. And I think for anybody listening, it's so easy to have this grass on the other side is so much greener. And yet there's a whole lot of struggle behind it. And, you know, Chad's got a family as well. So it's not just him doing it and it's whatever. It's like, no, there's a whole family behind it that's asking, gosh, is this a steady situation? Is this? And I think that's been powerful for me to get to know different folks who are in your position of, wow, no, actually, there's so many blessings with it, no doubt. But there's also a lot of hard parts to it, a lot of trials and testing on that. Has that been true?
Yeah, no doubt. You know, and I'll be honest with you, though, I'm kind of the guy where even if I was drafted in the first round, like I would still feel like I could lose my job at any point. You know, like I'm always trying my hardest and my best to just do my best, if that makes any sense. I mean, truly, each year, you know, you're just trying to what seems like earn your spot all over again, you know, and make a name for yourself. Shoot, I've learned over my almost 27 years of life that I kind of like the underdog like story anyway, you know, that mentality. It's kind of just become who I am. So
yeah, so that's the football side of you. I want to switch over to Jesus and just where he came into your life and kind of connecting the two. I actually texted CJ Ham right before this interview and I asked him if there's anything I should harass Chad about, and he wrote back, "Nah, just enjoy the time. Love that guy. Good people." And so CJ is someone I looked up to and look up to and respect so much. And so that says a ton about you. But Chad, if you want to share that part of you, the Jesus side of you, where that came into play, how that all happened.
Yeah. So I am a big family man. I have amazing parents. My pops and my mom, they brought us up in a super solid Christian household. And I will never take that for granted. There was one day or one night we were doing a family Bible study, and my dad was just kind of, and my mom, both chatting with me and my sisters, and they were just talking about, you know, what it means to follow Jesus, and you know, how, what does that look like? How do you ask him into your heart? You know, like the details about how to be a Christian. And it was that night that I accepted the Lord Jesus into my heart. I was 12 years old, and I'll never forget it. But you know, and obviously from then on, it's been quite the journey, but he's been the foundation, you know. He's been the foundation from day one, and there's been a lot of trials along the way, but there was just something about passion that Jesus put on my heart, and that has been football. It was a dream, and then it became a passion, and there were many injuries where I was like, I'm done, you know, I'm tired of this, you know, Lord, you've led me down this path, and you've given me this huge passion to play football. Why do I continue to get hurt? And it just doesn't seem like maybe you have something else for me, you know, but after numerous times of praying and trying to figure out, you know, what God was trying to tell me, it was the Holy Spirit wouldn't let it go. Like I couldn't let it go, you know, football, not for my own personal being. I mean, my goodness, if I had my own choice, I would have been done playing football my sophomore year of college. But, but like I said, you know, the Holy Spirit wouldn't let it go. If anything, the passion just grew stronger, you know? And so through every injury, I actually came back better, which is boggles my mind. You know, one verse that I've always clung to was Acts 20:24. And it's, however, I consider my life worth absolutely nothing to me. My only aim in this life is to do the will of the Father, and that's to testify to the grace of Jesus. And to me, that's everything. Yeah. You know, everything that this life could throw you, it doesn't matter. You know, we are God's child. We're his children. You know, at the end of the day, we just have to humble ourselves, you know, and not expect anything, and know that God's got our back. The only reason you're on this earth is to testify to God's good name, you know, testify about Jesus and all the, and his goodness. That in itself gives you purpose. You know, if you put your identity into things like football, you know, your job, even your spouse, you know, if you do something like that, you're going to be left empty without Jesus. You know, you're left kind of purposeless in my mind.
Yeah, no, that's so good. Talk about the trials that you have walked through just with the different injuries. How has your relationship with God grown or been tested? Has there been times of just really like frustrations with God? Like share about what that's looked like for you on just a human level. What has that looked like for you?
Well, just to name a few injuries, you know, I've had surgery on my ankle, my right knee, my left arm, my left ring finger, you know, and in all those areas I've have hardware. I've broken a few toes. I've broken my collarbones 3 times. I've fractured multiple ribs. You know, I've done damage to, I lacerated my kidney and to damage to my liver and concussions. I'm not even going to get into soft tissue injuries, you know, but they have just added up over time.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times where I've just was just kind of dumbfounded and just really wanting to know, you know, God, why, you know, the why do bad things happen? And I think that's okay. I think it's okay to be honest with God. You know, there were times where I've been angry, and I'll specifically point out one time, my senior year, my true senior year of college, blew out my knee right before the season. At that point, I was done. You know, I was done. I was like, this is it. You know, knee injuries, they're so hard to come back from. And it just was like everything sunk, you know, my spirit just sunk. And I was stuck in that vicious cycle of feeling sorry for myself and being angry at God for probably too long, truly. Yeah. But I eventually came around, you know, the Lord just stirring in my heart and literally telling God, like, I'm done. I'm not playing this game anymore.
We are finished.
But still coming to the same senses, you know, as I was, you know, finally came around, you know, the Holy Spirit just continuing to work in me and saying, you know, it's not over, you know. God hasn't left you yet. Why was he going to leave you now? You know, and so from that point on, I just kept plugging away. And, you know, looking back now, you can see God's fingerprints and handprints all over everything, you know. But when you're in the fire, it's really hard. But I don't know, from my point of view, you know, people always ask, why do bad things happen to good people? In my mind, who are we to take the place of God. You know, by that statement alone, we're trying to put ourselves in the position of God. You know, God has your best interest at heart. You just got to trust him. And that can be a hard pill to swallow sometimes, but that's reality, you know, and that's okay, because at the end of the day, you know, we're washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And, you know, if you trust in him, you're going to go to heaven one day. And that's the greatest gift. You know, there's nothing better than that. So this temporary pain is okay. You just got to keep going, you know?
No, that is so good. So sometimes that's just genuinely in the hardest situations, regardless of what that looks like for a person, really just putting one foot in front of the next and asking God this for the strength for today to make it through. Chad, for you, God has continued to elevate you just in being seen by the amount of people who see you and watch you on TV. Has that been hard as far as a Christian? Like, man, I know how imperfect I am, and now I have all these people watching me. Is that something that you feel at all as far as like, man, people know I'm a Christian and I've kind of flown this flag a little bit? Yeah. Talk about that part of things.
Yeah, I mean, you're under a microscope, truly. I mean, people are watching your every move, everything you say. It comes with, you know, greater responsibility. But I think that, you know, if that's what God has called me to, then I got to take that job seriously, you know?
Yeah.
But no, it's not easy, you know, especially with a family, you know, my beautiful wife, and we're going to have a beautiful baby girl here pretty soon. That adds some more flavor, you know, into the mix. But I tell you what, you are under a microscope, but at the same time, I think that the world we live in is just a lot of hurting people. It's important to try to stand out in a Christ-like manner, and I try to do that to the best of my ability. And I know I'm not perfect. There's no doubt about it. But just trying to keep Christ at the center of all of it, you know, and let that be, I don't know what you want to call it, I guess the slogan, right? You know, I don't want it to be Chad Beebe, the football player. I want it to be Chad Beebe, the Christ follower, you know, like that's the biggest thing to me. And I hold that dear to my heart, you know. I think with all the injuries and the trials that I've had up to this point, I think it's kind of molded me to, you know, be able to adapt and handle those situations, because I know without a shadow of a doubt, I would not be here without Jesus Christ. There's just no doubt in my mind, you know, and for me to go and then take the credit for where I've come to, you know, to this point, I mean, it's, you know, if you were to see me in person, you would be like, this guy plays in the NFL. And he's had the past that he's had, you know, but that just speaks to the goodness of our Lord, you know.
That's pretty stinking cool, and you can see that you're not just saying something. You're like, dude, I'm proof that God can do it. No, that's so cool. Well, Chad, one of the things I just think is really neat about your story is even you following the footsteps of your dad. And whether you're listening and you're the son of a farmer and you've become a farmer, the son of a banker and become a banker, teacher, like that's just kind of a unique situation. Has that been good, hard, otherwise? Like, what's that been like for you? Again, knowing that there's people listening who have followed their folks in a similar line of work. Yeah, what does that look like?
I mean, that's a great question. You know, well, first of all, I've kind of touched on my parents. You know, my father's awesome. He played 9 years and also played wide receiver. So for somebody who grew up loving the game of football, you know, it was just kind of in my blood. It was kind of an ideal situation, you know, because I had a father who played and he could teach me all the things. And this is outside of our, you know, faith, but we're strictly football. And I think in high school, it was a little tougher for me, you know, because it was almost like Don Beebe's son, you know, Don Beebe's son. And it's okay, right? Because I love my father.
That's
so
right.
I was like, issues with it. But I think it maybe wore on me a little bit more than I thought it did, you know, always trying to, like, I'm here too, you know, like I'm Chad.
Yeah, my name's Chad. Nice to meet you.
Yeah. Oh, he's Don's son. No. It was just remembering, right, where our identity is. You know, it's not in family name. It's not in what I do. It's in Christ. And once I grew up and started to really figure that out and understand, It made all the difference, obviously. But it was funny, you know, you bring up my dad, and he rarely talked football. Like, I'm being completely honest with you. Growing up, he wouldn't talk about it at all. If I wanted to talk about football, I would have to ask him. He wouldn't tell me about his career or stories, you know, and how it kind of drove me nuts growing up. But, you know, I don't remember when I asked him, but it was recent. I was like, why didn't you ever want to talk football? He's like, well, son, I'd never wanted to make you feel like you had to play. You know, I didn't want to make you think like it was a big deal. And I think that had a greater impact on me than him, you know, not talking about football. Like, I think that helped me more, 'cause it was always me and my dad, you know. He was a father first, because he also coached me in high school football.
Oh my gosh.
A lot of parents that can't separate the two, you know? So you're bringing it home, you're coaching at home. It's like my dad, you know, but he did a really good job of separating the two. And, you know, so I give him a lot of credit. I really do. And so there's a lot of things that he did that I will definitely carry into, you know, me being a father. So I'm very much appreciative of that side of it. And my mom is a saint. Don't get me started on my mom. She's got so much love in her heart. It's ridiculous. So I'm a mama's boy at heart. That's for sure. Don't tell my dad.
No, that is so cool. Honestly, Chad, that's probably my thing I'm most grateful for you sharing. Like, that was just really cool hearing you talk about your folks. And I want to encourage the person listening, and all of our parents. My dad's my hero. And I've had to search for years for his imperfections, because they're so few and far between that they're hard to see. But even in my dad, he would tell you he's a recovering workaholic. And one of the coolest things about how Jesus comes into our picture, all the wonderful redeeming qualities of our parents, and some of them have more qualities than others. In Christ, we can continue on all those redeeming qualities that we have. And again, for some of us, it might be hard to see those redeeming qualities in our parents. But what's so cool is in Jesus, all the unredeeming qualities are the things that we don't want to hand off. What's so awesome is in Jesus, we're made brand new. And, yep. And anything we want to leave behind, any traits that we don't want to pass on, as far as traits that aren't good, traits that we wish weren't true, it's because of Jesus that we can set a new course for our families. I just hung out with a friend last week, and he was telling me about his dad, and he said, my dad was just like this and just like this, and it wasn't a positive thing. And I just said, man, I know there's some awesome qualities about your dad too. And he got emotional. He said, there are. Like, my dad is a really good man. He was broken, but he was a really good man. And I just said, how cool to pass on those good qualities. But with Jesus, all those other qualities that you want to leave behind that are inside of you too, you can let go of those. And so I just want to encourage you, like anybody listening, to think about the qualities that you see in your parents that are redeeming. Gosh, pass those ones on. And then the things that aren't in your folks, and more importantly, that aren't in yourself, begin to ask God, like, hey, would you give me the strength to leave these things behind? Because I don't want to pass this on to my family. I don't want this to be true of my last name. You know, our last name is a big deal. And sometimes we claim that identity more than our identity in Christ. And it's like, hey, Jesus, I know my last name is this, but before my last name, I'm a follower of you. And so I want to pass on all of you, and less of me, more of you is to the point. Chad, I just got a couple last questions. You got a little lady. You mentioned she's coming soon. You're going to be a dad. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Things you're most excited about and most nervous about. That's a scary question.
Oh, man. I don't know if I actually thought about it, but I'm definitely most excited just to see her, you know, the first moment of like, wow, like this is real. You know, I'm actually a dad. And just to see, you know, what she looks like, and I don't know, I'm just excited about that part of it, the delivery, you know, and how it's a miracle.
Yeah,
you know, we hear so many. I mean, we hear some scary stories, but we also hear a lot of really cool stories. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, it is a miracle. And what am I scared for, or scared of? I don't know. I take it seriously, you know. I'm about to be a dad, and I just I want to be everything for her, you know, and I know I can't be, but I'm scared to fall short in that regard, you know. But to name a specific thing, I'm not really sure.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. I can remember when my wife had our first, and if there was nothing more than seeing a child be born to prove the existence of God, I'm like, there's either a God or my wife has been like inhabited with aliens or something. I'm like, it's truly incredible. I mean, I'm naturally a skeptic, and even before becoming a Christian, really struggled with things. And I can remember going through the childbirth process, and I'm like, oh my gosh, if there's nothing more than this right here, there is no question to God. So I'm excited about that process. I'll be praying for you with that. last question: is there something that you feel like God has been teaching you lately, just in your own life? It could be something super simple. It could be something bigger. Is there anything that you feel like God's been teaching you lately?
To be faithful in the unknown, I think, would be the biggest thing. You know, obviously there's just a lot of, I mean, I guess without a better word, just a lot of unknown. Just in a time of, you know, in the midst of moving, going into another season, you know, you really never know where you stand as far as depth charts and whatnot, you know. We did buy a house, so we planted roots, you know, so we want to stay, but there's still that unknown, and some other things too. But I think it's just being, you know, in the unknown, like trusting in the Lord and all of that, knowing he's there, even when you may not be able to hear him, but just knowing that he's there and he's got our best interest at heart. I think that's the biggest thing that he's been teaching me over these last, like, three, 4 months, you know, with like free agency is a whole deal too. And we were scared for a while. We weren't going to get a home because the market's so crazy right now. but God has a funny way of working things out, you know? And so you'd think by now I would have learned that, but it's a learning curve. You're always learning, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's such a good word to end on. And I think that can apply to every single one of us in different ways. Chad, one again, thank you so much for joining me on the conversation today. Just a huge blessing. We'll be cheering you on in the season to come.
The Conversation with Adam Weber is produced by the Converge Podcast Network and proudly distributed on Faith Radio. Special thanks to these partners. For more information on this show, visit convergepodcast.com.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.